Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. Last week when Brenda Wright was on our show, we talked about rough sightings in Juno, a bird that's pretty rare to see in Alaska. And the bird featured in this week's Rare Bird Alert is just as fascinating. It's the wood duck. And because it's quite colorful, a character, it's something that people really flock to try to see. Some think it's the most beautiful member of the duck family. Brenda, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us. Brenda's a program manager for the Juno Audubon Society.
Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. So, yeah, the wood duck. Now, sometimes I think I get the wood duck and the harlequin duck confused. Is that? Am I way off base there, or is that
Well, you know, they're very close in size. But the wood duck has got the extremely brilliant greens and blues and reds all in the same place. And the harlequin's got those lovely blues surrounded by blacks and white.
But they both have that such sort of perfection of coloration. It almost, you know, the cliche is they look like they've been painted.
Yes, exactly like they've been painted. And lucky for us, we have some real fanatics here in town that can't wait to get the best picture ever of a wood duck.
Well, tell me about when the likelihood of seeing them and when where people might see a wood duck if they are lucky enough to find one.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing, though, is like since you brought up the harlequin, this wood duck is quite small. It's about almost a third the size of a mallard. It's very tiny but very spectacular looking, and they like
compact.
To
you know they're kind of like little they're like little minis like the automobile like
yes
that's what they look like
exactly really flashy. So where do they go? They hide all the time. You can never
so
see
frustrating.
Yep, if you think you saw something bright, it's gone.
They kind of hide in the shorelines
yes,
or along
the shoreline, just inches away from tall grass. They're dabblers like mallards. They eat vegetation, and they like the thing. They like to be out of sight because they're so spectacular, I guess. Don't know, but so if you get a chance to see them, like someplace like the community garden, you just have to wait.
So the community garden is one place where they do show
yes,
up.
Yes, they like small ponds with lots of vegetation surrounded by trees. They nest in trees most of the time.
Oh.
In holes in trees.
So mm-hmm. like in the trunk of a tree in a hole, that's right. where they find a spot.
And so if you're thinking about how big our woodpeckers and sapsuckers are, you know, that hole's not really huge.
Right.
So these little guys, they love those. But since there aren't a lot that really work for them, they just love having somebody put up a box.
Oh, so what sort of box?
Well, you can check on eBird or other places like that and see the correct sizes if you wanted to build one. There's many available on the web. But they're not really large. The hole is just about 3 inches.
And it would be elevated?
Yes.
Kind of like a regular bird box?
You know, their favorite thing is to be in a dead tree in the pond, like in an old beaver pond. So all they do when the babies hatch, they're supposed to jump out.
They just fall into the water.
Jump out. And they float. Right. I guess they can also jump out onto land and bounce okay. But water is preferred.
Yes, I would prefer it if I were a wood duck. Well, you brought in some sound for a wood duck now. So this is sort of the distinctive sound of what a wood duck sounds like. And you were kind of joking that because they're a duck, they have a beautiful call like most ducks.
Yes.
But here is the sound of a wood duck. So if you hear this, there might be a wood duck nearby. I have to say, that is not what I was expecting.
Yes.
That is almost an electronic noise in a way.
It's very different. And they don't really do that much except during mating times.
Yeah.
But if there's a lady around, they're going to hear it.
Oh, right. Yeah. So what is their life cycle like right now? Are they nesting right now or what's happening?
Their babies are hatched and they're about half the size of the adults. So they nest just about the same time as mallards. They get here a little bit later and there's so very few of them. So they're, for a long time, they used to live right next to the Back Loop Road, where next across the street from the cinema, there was a big pond area there.
Oh, yeah, right.
But the most anybody has ever documented in Juneau at one time is 6.
Is that right? Just 6?
6.
That's it?
Yeah.
So, are we kind of on the upper end of their range?
Yes, we're completely away from the most of their range. They love Washington and Oregon and places warmer. and they definitely go there for winter. But here they're just on the edge of their. But they've been seen here for many, many years. As far back as 1969, there's at least one.
So reliably you can find it if you're intrepid and you really can do it. So that was kind of by the Duck Creek Market. Is that where you were sort
yeah,
of saying?
Well, across the street, actually. There's a condos and a church there with a right. really large pond area.
Right.
They were found there for many years.
Uh-huh.
But then they moved to Rotary Park.
Okay.
And now community garden is so much nicer.
yes. It's so funny to think of all the many beaver ponds and places out there they could choose. They decide, well, this is a little place by the Duck Creek Market is a nice place
yeah.
to go.
you know, if there's the good trees and great food, then that's their happy
yeah.
there.
And so what's their time of year that they kind of do that? When do they leave again?
Well, since they're half grown, they'll be around for another month or so.
Okay.
They don't molt right now. So the male's still, the female's quite lovely too, but not near as brilliant colors.
Well, you talked about only six at one time and it makes you really think like, you know, it's such a special thing that we get to see these birds. And I'm always trying to think about what we can do to sort of either encourage birds to be here or protect them when they're here. And one of the things that, of course, we hear about, and probably most of us have experienced at one time or another, are bird strikes.
Yes, yes.
That happen against windows. And tell us a little bit about advice you might have about helping protect that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because it is a very serious thing and almost. There's lots and lots of people who know that they've seen a bird strike their window, heard it, or found a dead bird outside. And so that's where you focus all your attention. It makes it much simpler. What you want to do is make it so that the bird does not see sky or scenery behind. They are looking at the reflection. They see a beautiful flight path. So what you want to do is destroy that flight path. And there's many different ways. You can put up a CD with a shiny side out. You can put up feather-friendly dots. You can hang string in front of it. As long as there's small spaces, 2 to 4 inches, all of those things will stop that. And the really easy one is put the screen up.
Oh, screens are the...
They'll help protect them just enough to keep them from hurting. Because a lot of times, even when you hear a bird strike, it might get a little bit farther away, but it's probably not going to survive.
It's sad, and I've definitely found one outside of our window before. We've tried those streamers, and mm-hmm. that seems like we haven't had anything in a long time.
Yes,
but,
yes.
I it's one of those things where you see, like, the beautiful dream house. It's got a great view,
mm-hmm.
and what do you have? You have these gorgeous, huge windows all the way across it,
mm-hmm.
and I've gotten to the point where I see windows like that, and I just think, oh, those poor birds.
Yeah.
you know?
Well,
but there's these simple ways of
so for lucky for us, the University of Alaska Southeast here was happy to let us buy some material for them, the feather-friendly dots, to put up on the library windows.
What are those? Describe those to me.
Well, they come in a panel, and they're two to four inches apart. And so you put that entire film on your window, especially where the birds strike commonly. And corners are often the worst place where you have windows on both sides of a corner.
I see.
Because the birds are looking through. They're thinking they can fly straight through.
Yeah.
But the bird-friendly, you can buy that online, or you can put streamers. Or other kinds of dots. Some people I know like to do get the washable crayon things and just make beautiful designs all over the place and wash them off in the winter.
Yeah, and I've heard that, is it vertical stripes are better than horizontal?
That when you use dots, it's good to have both.
Okay.
But vertical, if you're only going to do vertical, that's with strings, just make them 2 to 4 inches apart.
I see. Yeah, yeah. And that's just the way that birds kind of navigate. That's
mm-hmm.
that's what's there.
Yeah.
That makes most sense to them to avoid
with
that.
With their wingspan, even small birds, they don't want to be hitting a bunch of things or their feathers will be flying off.
right. Well, tell me about where you're going to be observing birds this weekend. Where are you headed? What have you got in your list?
Oh, well, you know, I have not yet seen the wood duck myself.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. I did get to see one. Do you know where the police station is in Lemon Creek?
Yep.
There was a little wood duck there with two babies.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right.
So hard telling where she might have gone because the green-winged teals moved in.
Uh-huh, yes.
And you know how people don't like to share sometimes.
Well, there you go. Well, that's great, Brenda. So Anything else that you want folks to know? It's so good to hear that information about bird strikes and just like the simple steps we can take to make sure that we're doing everything we can to protect birds.
Because I'm sure if you've been around birds, you notice that there is one particular place and you fix that and you'll be happier and the birds will be much happier.
We want the birds to be happy after all.
Because we don't want to add to the problems of decreasing bird numbers.
That's right. Well, Brenda, thanks so much for coming in and telling us all about everything that's happening in the world of birds and Juneau. I appreciate it.
All right,
and we'll
thanks.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Okay.